The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. We're back here. We're with E.W. Grimes, Quality Deer Management Associate. Asian. I like that shirt. That's a nice shirt. I got a couple of your hats.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. QDMA's got a table coming up at the Hunting Coalition Benefit, March 23rd.
Yep.
And I think we used your picture in our newsletter.
I did. I wish you had told me that. I'd have combed my hair a little bit. I looked a little rough in there. Of course, it might have been the pressure I was under, I guess.
All the pressure.
Hey, that nice bow. That was a nice bow that I got there. That really was.
You got a nice Hoyt.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah, a used Hoyt is what we actually did. Yeah. And we actually, that went on to a kid. Yeah. It did. So we donated. We actually give it to a young fellow.
Nice.
So, yeah. Great event. Well put.
I wish more people would come.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're a month away. And there's a lot to do in the month of March. I understand that. Yep. But the Hunting Coalition has one fundraiser a year. Last year we tried a fall deal on the Eastern Shore. It worked out okay, you know, but it wasn't anything like our Westminster event. You know, 300 people there and all kinds of guns and bows and stuff to give away and trips and so forth. We're getting more hunting trips and fishing trips this year. We're getting, you know, guns and bows and, you know, special firearms and things like that. So people, you know, people are really going to have a good time when they
show up. It's a good event. Well, kudos to you guys who did a good job at the...
And March can't beat the food.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's great food. Food was great.
No question.
Know, so.
And I think we had... enough prizes to give one away every 4 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy giving away stuff. It's hard to keep track of it.
I know. You know, it's like, what do I do, another drawing or door prize? Who has the door prize? Who has number, you know, whatever. So, but, you know, we keep it flowing.
Yeah, that's right.
We keep it flowing. So, I appreciate the good words on that, and we always look forward to seeing your table there. Of course, we've got the trappers coming. We've got the bow hunters coming, Maryland Bow Hunters Society, Maryland Fur Trappers. We've got the Free State Nashua Turkey Federation chapter coming. We have donations coming from one of the members of NWTF is donating a nice print, and we're going to split an auction with the Physically Challenged Bow Hunters of America. Chuck Spohr, the president here in Maryland, and the national president, procured a print, a local Maryland print, print. So we're going to auction that off and split the money with PCBA, which is
nice.
That's
great.
So, you know, there's always that kind of stuff we can do. So
we got a couple of events coming up here in March. The one on the International Outdoor Shows on the Eastern Shore.
The National Outdoor Show. That's actually next weekend.
I'm going to be there.
We're going to be there with Buck Spear Stags. We're going to be measuring antlers.
We're going to be there as well. Have a booth. And last year we had a great time down there. I actually went down by myself and was overwhelmed.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
I mean, I mean, it's holy moly. I mean, that's really,
bring a lot of deer. Keep Robin busy so she doesn't go visit all the jewelry counters.
There's a lot of everything down there, man.
You're not kidding. I think we wound up with soap and jewelry and hand carved whatever, and you know. But that was a good event for Bucks, Bears, Stags. That was kind of our inaugural event
into it.
And you know, we had a great time. Got a lot of nice deer, too.
Yeah.
And sika deer, Doug Wigfield will be there measuring sika deer.
Oh, is that right? Again?
Yeah, in particular. Yeah, Doug is the sika deer guy, you know.
Yes.
Matter of fact, the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, he's got an article about Bob Bartoszewski's deer, the record sika deer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a beast. I mean,
wow.
And shot it with a traditional bow.
That's cool.
Yeah, recurve. Very nice.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're talking about the 15-year deer plan. I can simply forward a link to anybody who emails me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, if they'd like to do that.
Yeah.
And we can...
Well, you can just go to the DNR site and search it there. But,
For our listeners, I mean, I always make
absolutely.
That a service. And anybody that wants information on
the
gun laws, on the bad gun bills, we'll send them that link, too. Just drop me an email. I'm more than glad to do that. So.
Yep.
So, National Outdoor Show. Yeah, we've talked about that. The Bow Hunter Society. Are you going to Bow Hunter Society?
Yeah, actually, that's the first weekend.
March 9th.
Yeah, I got to get my ticket for that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, and you can bring your one of your racks down there if you want, or bring it down to Dorchester.
I'm going to bring it down to Dorchester. The one I actually killed one of the oldest. The oldest buck I've ever did this year.
Oh, right?
I was 8.5 years old. I've actually sent the sizer or the tooth away to get it actually, to get it analyzed for the forensic to make sure the base. So once you go over 6 years old in the jawbone, to look at them, it gets tough.
So you gotta go send it away, a tooth away, and they do the slice.
And they dye it, and then, it costs you like $20 for a tooth to do it, done that. But then you're sure what the age is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty confident in the way, what we got there, but, and actually the article is posted on our website now. I just finished it up. I mean, I had an incredible bunch of history with this deer. And when, properly managed properties like that, you get that older age class of animal, and even though it won't score much, it was truly, I mean, if you read my story, that deer and I was like, he avoided me. I got a video clip of him walking within 100 yards of my truck in the opposite direction of where I am in the woods.
Right, of course.
I mean, he's like, watched me. I feel like he watched me get out of the truck, and I went one way, he went the other. I mean, we played the chess game for many years.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
When you found him, okay, you harvested him. When you found him, was his tongue hanging out?
No. Yeah, he was. They always do. The tongue hangs out because what? Okay. All right.
Do you know why?
Okay. I knew that was coming.
They stick their tongues out.
No, you're going to tell me. I want to hear it. I do know why, but go ahead.
I don't want to hear the scientific reason. You had an 8-year battle with this deer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you won.
And I won.
And he stuck his tongue out. You know why?
Yeah, he was going na 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 na.
No. No, deer don't have a middle finger.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
Oh my gosh! But you know what? That was an older buck, but I get almost as much satisfaction out of killing an older doe.
Oh yeah,
because they have that. You know, the older they get, the smarter they get.
Exactly.
So your challenge,
it's a battle.
You know the challenge and the satisfactory if you do harvest the animal, if you do.
Yeah.
I mean, I still got an old doe down in that one property down there. I'm gonna bet she's 12 years old.
She might be. And she busts you every time.
And when I get out of the truck and I'm walking across the field, I hear her. It's like, yeah. And she like clears the whole woods.
Yep.
You know, so, and, you know, it's just, it's an ongoing.
I had a new property this year in Queen Anne's County.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
And you should target your older does. We talk about crop damage.
Yeah.
Okay. When you harvest an older animal, from, you know, year and a half, 2.5, 3.5 year old doe, they usually have twins. According to our study that's been going on for 14 years, they have twin fetuses in them.
Right.
So as a management tool, you get more out of taking an old doe and pass the fawns and yearlings up.
Right.
You know, that also improves, if you want to go this way, genetically. You are creating a bloodline by taking the older deer out of the hunt. You should target your older deer to keep that
going on. You know, you bring up the thing that, you know, you're taking an older doe. You take an older doe prior to the rut in November, basically, you're going to avoid that killing three.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But when we fought, the coalition fought the extended firearms season. You remember they had it at Charles and St. Mary's County?
Yes.
It went to the end of March.
Yes.
And we were, you know, we were concerned about the pregnant does and the shedhead bucks and so forth. And we fought to repeal that side by side with the horse council because they got to hunt on Sundays.
Yeah.
So they wanted that gone. But when we actually finally repealed that, it was through negotiations with members of the Farm Bureau.
Yeah.
And there we have the ladies, you know, from the horse council sitting in a room with the farmers from the Farm Bureau, and our advocate Bill Miles is in the room, and we're talking about this bill. And what do you want? We want to sell venison, and we want to kill them with rifles. Well, you're not going to get to sell venison. Sorry, that's off the table. Well, we want rifles. Well, what else do you want? I can't think of anything else. All right, then. So we can repeal this law if we let you shoot them with rifles on crop damage permits. Yep. All right. Well, you know, we really don't like this. We really don't like this season because the does are pregnant, and one of the farmers goes, yeah, we call that a threefer. Yeah, shoot the doe and you kill the two fawns too. Of course, the ladies from the farm, from the horse council, they were aghast. But
yes,
that's just the reality of it.
That's correct.
And that's why this night shooting, you know, thing is so abhorrent to anybody who should be, you know, concerned with wildlife management. Shooting these deer at night when they're vulnerable, when they're herded up in February and March.
They're most vulnerable.
Most vulnerable.
Yes.
Most vulnerable.
Yes.
Especially at night.
And then at night, I mean, you can't tell the difference between a shed buck and a doe.
No, you can't.
In daytime, you have a more, where mistakes might be made, but you have at least an ability to look the deer over and say, well, that might be a buck. Maybe I should pass that one over. I mean, there's characteristics you can determine
if
you're
doing it. I don't think it matters to a farmer.
Well, I don't think it does either.
People shooting on these night permits, I don't think it matters. If it's an antlerless deer, it's going down.
Yeah. Well, they're all antlerless.
Exactly.
Well, there you go. I mean, all you got to do is close your eyes and squeeze and throw lead.
410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. Close your eyes and throw lead. Is that what you said?
There goes that rifle thing out the window.
Well, look, if it's locked down on a tripod in the back of your truck. And
you can't shoot from the truck now.
give me a break. If you got a tripod on your window, okay, and it's locked down and your scope's on it and your night vision's working, you can close your eyes. Because it doesn't matter where you hit that deer.
Well, I think it does matter. I think you should be proficient.
You should be, I know we're making fun. You just take a look at that picture of those six bucks laying there in the field in Dorchester County, and you tell me where the shot placement was.
All of them are in the chest.
No, they weren't.
No, they were.
Oh, no.
No?
Look at the photo again. Yeah.
I don't remember.
You need to do that. Center punch, some of them.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. No question about it.
Well, exactly. That's one of the chest cavity in the middle.
No.
Behind the chest cavity.
Behind the chest cavity.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
You're saying that they actually stomach shot them? Well, that's not a kill shot.
No, but it does cause the deer to run off and die in the hedgerow.
That's true.
It becomes buzzard food at that point.
Yeah.
It's not being processed, not being recovered from meat.
Yeah. Well, that's against law.
I know it.
Oh. Well,
so do they.
Don't our hunting dollars enforce that law?
No, our hunting dollars pay to administer that program, the deer crop damage program. Deer management program. Yeah, our hundred dollars administer that program.
So
$480,000.
You know, we're making fun of the crop damage, but on that note, I do believe that farmers have the right
you
to protect their crop.
You and I both.
But I think there's a right way of doing it and a wrong way of doing it, or not right and wrong, but maybe, right and wrong. I'm gonna stick with that. You can actually, a few guys or gals can do a very good year-round with crop damage and get results, measurable results, and still process the deer and do it underneath of the regulations that are in place.
Right.
Whether you go through,
under the conditions of a deer management
absolutely.
Permit.
Absolutely. I think it's there. It's there to use and be successful in using it. So, you know, I mean, the tools are there. You just have to use them.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. So.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. But, you know, farmers.
Hey, I'm gonna branch off a little bit off the crop damage
here. Yeah, please
do. Because I think we're beating it up pretty good. But
we were discussing.
Yes. You know, one of the things that we was talking about the other night was, you know, we've had a really bad rainy season this year,
yep.
Which probably would have had a some effect on them deer numbers that you was talking about earlier in the show from last year harvest. One of the biggest things that I've seen on the properties that I actually are hands-on involved with is,
yep.
Is that fawn recruitment this year has plummeted.
What's that mean?
That means what you observed, how many does you have. Fawn recruitment is how many fawns actually make it to the hunting season. You know, so you have fetuses in the deer. Not all fetuses live, and you have a percentage of deer. So that is one of the ways that you actually track your management process is by watching this recruitment numbers. And one of the things that a lot of people maybe not are aware of, that when fawns are born, one of the things that can kill them fawns when they hit the ground is rainy weather, because it takes their body heat away.
That's right.
And they die. And I'm really thinking that this year, I don't know how many people are listening that keep track of the observation and their observation logs of how many fawns you've seen, but I know the properties that I've had have just went from like 1.7 a year ago to 0.55, which is incredible drop.
Yeah, it is.
So what does that mean? That means the fawns didn't survive. That means the future of our deer in another year or two, and the button bucks that are there will be our bucks 3 years from now. We may have a void in our herd management that maybe we shouldn't be cutting back on our doe harvest a little bit in some of those areas that you know are impacted by that. Same thing with the blue tongue disease several years ago. Some of those areas back in there, it's the hunter and the manager's responsibility.
You've seen the map. We've sent the map out,
yes.
and published it publicly.
Yes.
You know, that map was done because of EHD.
Absolutely.
And I've requested another map now that these numbers are out to see what how the harvest has dropped from year to year. Let's see what happens there. But, I mean, you got the numbers here on this chart that just came out the other day with the 77,000 deer off 11%.
Wow.
Weather has been bad.
Absolutely.
But if fawn recruitment's bad, people aren't seeing the deer.
That's correct. And that's what, I mean, the survey that was on your website there the other week, Aaron, you know, are you seeing deer and stuff like that? I'd like to see a lot more participation in that, because I'd like to hear from hunters and say, you know, what they have seen. One of the key things, and here again, the hunters are on the front of this thing because they're in the woods.
Exactly.
I mean, DNR actually has the archery hunter survey report that they do annually.
Yes, they do.
And that's strictly the bow hunters that are actually participating in that, and they really get some good data out of that thing.
No question.
And you know, one of these controlling factors is fawn recruitment. I mean, it's a major part of deer management, and you know, and then you have to make the decisions on what you're doing for next year. I mean, I'm anxious to see next year with trail cameras and stuff to see if it recovers or not. If we don't have a mild lack of rain spring or less rain, I'm going to see if them doe numbers or them fawn numbers actually come back. If they don't, and this trend falls off like that, we're going to have to start looking at some of our numbers and our harvest numbers.
Yeah.
And the only ones who can do that is the guys, the boots on the ground, in the field.
That's correct. That is correct.
Yep.
It's time for me to tell you about Chesapeake Outdoors. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. And anglers, Chesapeake Outdoors is gearing up. They're not only talking about the perch run.
3 minute stations.
Did you want to say something there, Chris?
did you want to say something?
No, it was not me.
Oh, that wasn't you?
No, it was not me.
Okay, then. I think I'll start this over again.
Please do.
All right.
Bye.
Chesapeake Outdoors is the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. And anglers, Chesapeake Outdoors is getting ready for you. Not only is a perch run getting started and cranked up, and they'll tell you where, they've got all that kind of gear, too. You know, the shad darts and all that, live bait and frozen bait as well. But they're getting ready for rockfish season big time. They've got all the custom bucktails and parachutes and umbrellas. They've got, well, Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies, rods and reels and tackle for the bay and the rivers and freshwater fishing and all of that. They've got them. I mean, the boards are full of these big trolling lures and bucktails and so forth. Yeti coolers, Costa sunglasses, Bubba Blade knives. The sun will come out again, so you might want to get a pair of nice Costas while you're down there. And then, of course, they're ready for turkey season, too, with the calls and decoys and the camo, Raven crossbows, Matthew compound bows, amongst others. And, you know, check out the sales while you're there. Ask them if they got any deals on hunting stuff, and they'll point right to the stuff, and they can tell you, you know, what's on sale. Chesapeake Outdoors, located Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road on Kent Island, Chester, Maryland, 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Bay Country Crabbing Supply in Edgewater. Everything you need for recreational and waterman commercial crabbing, too. Bay Fishing Tackle as well. Lots of it. Bay Country Crabbing Supply, located 2214 Mayo Road in Edgewater. Stackable traps, commercial pots, rigged trot lines, trot line parts, live boxes, nets, ropes, buoys, stainless steel steamers, and a full line of Bay Fishing Tackle and gear. See Bay Country Crabbing Supply today and tomorrow at the Pasadena Sport Fishing Show at the Early Heights Fire Department. And while you're there, tell them you heard about it on the Outdoorsman Radio Show, would you? Mark your calendars, April 13th, the open house at Bay Country Crab and Supply. For information, call 410-956-0300, and Waterman, take a copy of your license in, you'll get your discount. BayCountryCrabAndSupply.com. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Clyde Sports Shop, getting ready for their Ready to Rock sale, and you should too. Clyde's is you know, coming up with this sale every single year. It's a 10-day sale. It starts March 8th. That's a Friday, March 8th. Runs through Sunday, March 16th. All Rockfish trolling baits and lures are on sale. Trolling rods and reels are on sale. Pen reels are on sale. Shakespeare rods, Fluger rods and reels. Trolling combos start at $89.95. And their most popular trolling combo is a Pen Warfare 30LW level wine, Andy ASU 601, 20 to 50 pound rod, and filled with line, $139.95. So if you're looking for a new trolling combo, stop by and see Clyde Sports Shop for that right there. Save on premium monofilament line 2, half price from only 1 cent per yard. Take your empty spools and they'll install new line on them for you. Don't forget, that's the Ready to Rock sale, Friday, March 8th through Sunday, March 17th, and Clyde's has everything you need for fishing, live bait and terminal tackle and all that, rod and reel repair. Give them a call, 410-242-6108 for latest fishing report, 24-hour fishing hotline, 410-247-FISH, 24/7 FISH. Clyde Sports.
Talk Radio 680. WCPM. He got 13 channels of a wrestling coming in strong from a satellite sim. 200 function remote control, big screen TV with stereo. It comes on just a little too late. With his breezy arms, he can get it on tape. He's a high-tech redneck. Mayberry meets Star Trek. He's a bumpkin, but he's bumpkin. He's a high-tech redneck.
So, we bought a TV for the back room yesterday with God knows how many accessories. You can't just go and buy a TV anymore. You got to buy a sound bar, and you got to buy a cable of some kind, and you got to, you know, and then the cable company's coming in to do, I hope, the whole house on Monday, you know, because they're upgrading their whole, we're two upgrades behind, so new modem, new router, and all that stuff, and that'll help precipitate the next move for the Outdoors and Radio Show, which would be hopefully broadcasting from the house in Easton and saving, you know, 3 hours of drive time every mm-hmm. Saturday. And, you know, a lot of drowsiness. So, anyway, high-tech redneck, yeah. Her name's Robin, just saying. By the way, did I tell folks where Clyde Sports Shop was located? I think I missed that. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, Clyde Sports Shop. Let's talk to Claude, our first caller of the day. Good morning, Claude. How are you?
Hey, buddy. You know, they don't want you to kill all these deer for crop damage or whatever, like this guy was saying, all year long or whatever. But, you know, people are complaining about people going hungry when you guys give the deer meat to the, what is that? I forget the coalition it is.
No, Farmers and Hunters Feeding Hungry.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't think that this other trick would work, like they got at the airport where you got these cannons, like, I don't know what you call them, but they go off to scare the birds off, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Sound cannons, no. They don't work for deer, they get used to them. Crop damage, you know, if crop damage permit holders would adhere to the guidelines on their crop damage permits, we wouldn't have any hungry people in Maryland.
That's correct.
Problem is,
right,
they don't process those deer. They don't even touch those deer in a lot of areas in the summertime. Oh, it's too hot. It's full of ticks. That's why they gut shoot them. That's why they leave them run off into the hedgerows, which is 100% illegal.
Right.
Okay? So they don't utilize those deer. Am I right, EW? You've written articles about it. You've taken pictures. You've seen pictures of these deer.
Yeah, a lot of that goes on, and we actually I've actually opened up a folder on there. If you have, if you see this kind of stuff, send me a picture at MarylandQDMA.com. And I'm going to put a folder together. And, everybody carries a phone with them that has a camera. Yeah. So, gather that stuff up.
No question. We report it on the Hunting Coalition Facebook page, you know, and we talk about it. We get hundreds and hundreds of comments.
Yep.
And half of them, quite frankly, are from farmers that say, well, come on down here and see what I do. It's like the guy that we read about, you know, I farm 4,500 acres and I take $225,000 in crop damage and so forth. You know, I mean, look, I understand they have to protect their crops.
Yes, I agree. And they have the right to do that.
And they have the right to do that.
Yes.
But they also have a responsibility to, if they're going to kill an animal, to you know, especially an animal that can, you know, one deer can feed, what, 200 people, basically.
Yeah.
They have a responsibility to make the best of that harvest.
Yes.
There are people who will come in and take care of that for them anywhere and everywhere.
Yep.
Well, Alan, I'm not a hunter, like I said before, but I always believe in this, you know. If you're going to kill an animal, you should eat it.
Of course.
And bless it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. Thanks, Claude.
Okay, buddy. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Hey, I just got a text from John at Chesapeake Outdoors. He, of course, heard our commercial. Hoyt blowout sale.
Ooh. Where's this at?
Chesapeake Outdoors.
I'm going there.
Here's the number. 604-2500. 410-604-2500. Call for details. That's what he said. And all hunting gear, 20% off, except Matthew's bows. All hunting gear, 20% off, except Matthew's bows. Who are you texting?
The deer knife guy just texted me here and said sent it out there to him. I got him under my phone as the knife guy. You know who I'm talking about, the antler knife guy.
Yeah.
And he can't reach us, so he texted us to say, hey, everybody said
Billy can't
reach
us? Yeah,
he said his phone's not working or something.
Oh, there. Billy, come on.
I thought
man.
He had two phones. I don't know.
He has two phones. He's like a secret agent.
Tell Alan I said hi.
Hey, Bill, how you doing? Oh, my God.
Great guy.
Hey, does anybody need a tractor?
Oh, that's a nice tractor there.
That is a nice 3720 tractor. John Deere tractor.
Yep.
44 horsepower, 300X, front-end loader, 5-foot bush hog, cab with heat, air conditioning, radio, extra cab, exterior work lights, quick 3-point hitch adapter, serviced by Atlantic Tractor, 438 hours, excellent condition. Only
that's
used.
A climate control cab on there, too.
It
right?
is, yep. Yeah.
Man, that's
only
nice.
Used to mow pastures and kept under roof. 28.5, ready to go. That's a good deal. That's a good deal.
Yeah, that is a good deal.
For somebody who wants to maintain a food plot or something like that.
Absolutely. That's a utility tractor that can do just about everything.
That's a perfect size.
With the bucket on the front and you know,
and
the 3-point hitch and all that
brush
stuff.
Hog,
like,
the whole
oh
deal.
My, hey.
I mean, you can hook a tiller up, you can hook a, you know, cultivator, whatever.
You can rent them tillers and use it for crop, for doing food plots and stuff like that.
Sure.
And you have the tractor already, and that's a great tractor.
Yep. No question. Yep. So, anybody wants a deal on a tractor, there you go. Give us a call here at 410-WCBM680, 410-922-6680. We'll also send you information on the Maryland Hunting Coalition benefit coming up on March 23rd. We would love to see your business sponsor the event or get a table, just like QDMA did and Turkey Federation and Bow Hunters. It's, you know, usually about 300 of our closest friends and allies get together. And what camaraderie. I mean, it's a lot of fun going on there, you know, no question. And the coalition pays for the soda and the beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's talk to John in North Carolina. Good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Perfect. What's up?
Okay. I've got a question. I had it for a long time.
Yep.
Deer harvests.
Yes, sir.
How do they estimate the level of non-reporting?
Because I can answer that for you.
Go ahead.
They don't. It's called non-compliance. They have to measure non-compliance. In Maryland, they do not do that. Pennsylvania did it years ago, before they had antler restrictions and stuff. They had an incredible amount of non-compliance because they had to mail in stuff, and they actually indexed that. But Maryland does not do that.
I've always wondered because Alan knows I'm a deer hunter, and I also saw licenses and you know, out of all the, I've been hunting for 20 years, I guess, because I started late in life,
right?
But I'm gonna tell you, I don't know anybody who reports their harvest honestly,
right? Well, in Maryland, it's a phone-in system, or you can do it online or whatever. And there's even an app for the Maryland DNR that you can just go right on the app, and it's a simple process. Does everybody to kill a deer check them in? No. But there is an algorithm that they use, and Maryland is unique in its positioning in the Mid-Atlantic. It participates in both the Northeast region of deer management professionals and the Southeast region of deer management professionals. We attend both meetings, okay, and all these deer managers have, the same situation about how to accurately record and report the numbers of deer killed. Okay, so they use an algorithm basically, and it comes out to point something percent of the harvest is, it's figured in there, but it's not reported.
It's not reported.
Right.
The only numbers in the Maryland's deer report are actual collected numbers.
Right.
There is no.
But their population estimates are based on this algorithm, no question about it, of the overharvest and the deer management permits and so forth.
Well, majority of our population estimates and stuff like that is based upon what is hunted and our hunting numbers. Where that number is probably light. Because where hunting is not like in urban areas and stuff like that, where there's not hunting allowed, and there's issues with deer population, that's not even in the equation.
Right.
So, to answer your question there, Maryland doesn't really use that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I've made the assumption, and it's just an assumption, that the compliance is probably as poor everywhere as it is here.
Likely.
Yeah. And, and the argument, when we had check-in stations many years ago, there's people that didn't check their deer into the check-in station as well. So, to put a number on that is a guess at best.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one of the very common things is people check in using their children's licenses. You've got a two-year-old who took a bunch of deer last year.
Yeah, I got
that. That happened.
Yeah. That used to happen in Pennsylvania all the time. And I don't know how much of that does take place in Maryland, but I'm sure there's some of it in certain places in the state where people still use that.
Yes.
Yeah, so. And people call deer all the time,
Yep, no question.
Thank you very much.
All right, man.
I've been curious about that for a long time.
Well, but you got two different answers there, and both are correct.
Yep. So, absolutely.
Here you go, John. Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Well, take care.
Thanks for listening, North Carolina. See you. Bye-bye. Here he goes. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. So, where do we go next?
Turkey season's coming right around the corner.
You want to talk about, I thought you were quality deer manager.
But hey, you know what? I think that woodsmanship goes a long ways all the way around across the board. I think in hunter recruitment, it starts with woodsmanship.
We don't have woodsmanship anymore.
Well, we should.
We don't. We should go out on an available piece of property. We might see a deer trail.
Yep.
We find a suitable tree. We hang a deer ladder or deer stand in there, and that's where we sit all season, perched in that one particular tree stand, and hope that a deer shows up.
Well, I would encourage you to do a little bit more homework than that. I know that I do.
Well,
I do
as well. Yeah. I mean, I've been hunting the same property for 23 years, and I still roam the property.
Absolutely.
And a great time of year to do that is shed hunting.
Shed hunting. I was getting ready to bring that up. I'm going to go squirrel hunting and shed hunting this afternoon with Maggie and I, my squirrel dog Maggie.
Yep.
And
that's a mountain feist, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
How do you like that little mountain feist?
Oh, my God. I love that dog. That dog is the companion. And her offspring has been good companion as well. And Maggie, unfortunately, is getting to that 9 and a half. I think she'll be 10 in April.
I remember when you got her.
Yeah, she's still, and all I gotta do is pick up the gun, and she's right there at the door. Wanna go?
She's a shed hunter too.
She does pick up sheds as well.
Bred in the South to hunt squirrels.
Yep. It's actually a competition, and her father was actually a grand champion several years in West Virginia and Virginia in a row. So she come from good stock. And hunting with dogs is amazing. I mean, I grew up with a beagle and a rabbit dog, and I tell you what, and coon dogs and whatnot. And, that is just, to me, is a big, I get such a good thrill out of that. So, yep.
Let's talk to Glenn in Easton. Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Morning, Alan. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I know you covered this, so I heard you covered this in your 5 o'clock 6 o'clock hour. But once again, we need to get out the information about the House and Senate bills on the gun control, the proposed gun control. Now, one question I have, would this restrict youth from hunting if they could not possess a gun? Do you know anything about that?
That one I'm not sure of, Glenn. I can look at the law again and see it, and see that it would.
My local sheriff seems to think that that would be the case. And
it probably would.
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, under one of these bills, you can't, you know, if your buddy wants to go waterfowl hunting and, you know, you have an extra shotgun, you can't load it to him without a license and a dealer transfer and all the stuff that goes along with that.
This is ridiculous. They're swinging for the fences and beyond this year.
They are. They are indeed, and they're inspired by their compatriots in Washington, or should I say comrades?
Well, you're right. Washington, D.C., Washington State, Connecticut,
yeah.
Oregon,
yeah.
You name it. In fact, this would be worse than California if this was passed in Maryland.
In Maryland, it absolutely would be. It absolutely would be. Fortunately, we have a couple of good pro hunting and pro gun lawmakers in key positions that we're talking to, and you know, this is, I said earlier, this is what the coalition does. You know, the lobbyist doesn't go out there and beat the drum. The lobbyist, you know, he kind of waits outside committee hearing rooms and goes to people's offices and has one-on-one conversations with people. And that's the kind of stuff that we do. It's like a stealth operation. It's the kind of stuff we do. We can't shout. We can, you know, we can make a public appearance on a committee hearing and say, you know, we testified and we did this and we can beat our chest. But the real work is behind the scenes. And that's what the Hunting Coalition does. And that's what our lobbyist does, that's what our advocate does and has done for years and years and years. He's formed alliances and friendships and you know, working relationships with lawmakers. And, you know, that's how we do our work.
Well, that's great. I'm hoping that hunters will not sit this one out because they haven't been too active in the last...
Well, so far as their support for the Hunting Coalition, they have, I can tell you that firsthand.
Because it seems now that the hunters are, and I've, you know, I've said this till I'm blue in the face.
Yeah.
Most hunters don't care about black guns or tactical guns, but now that they're going after their A5 and their, you know, Super X2 or whatever, they're going to be concerned. And we're having a double barrel whammy here with the hunting next year. You know, short season's going to be shortened. But if you're a hunter that's coming in from another state, I don't know that you'd be able to bring your gun.
Exactly.
Have a gun loaned to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. So.
Insanity.
I agree with you. Now, look, we hit this on our website a week ago, okay? 331 shares, 115, you know, like, hate, whatever, 55 comments. By Monday morning, we'd reached 19,200 people with our Facebook post. Okay. As far as support for the coalition, one fellow bought $50 worth of crossbow tickets and a $100 contribution. That is the total.
Yeah.
That's the total.
Yeah. Well, at least that the word's getting out. I mean, that's key. Hopefully
the word's getting out, but you got to understand the coalition has a budget. It's about $80,000 a year. And I would say roughly 2/3 of that goes towards our efforts in Annapolis, not just with lobbying, but also political contributions, which we are allowed to make. We're not allowed to tell you what party, you know, to support or what candidate to support because of our tax status. But, you know, we do have to make political contributions. That's what makes the world go round. We have to have, you know, allies in key positions. Okay, and we got to pay our advocate. The rest of the money goes mostly towards expenses of our benefit, purchasing items for raffles and so forth, and paying the bills. So, you know, none of our directors, myself included, get no salary, no kind of stipend, no kind of compensation for doing what we do. So we just say, look, hunters, come to our benefit. That's the way you can support us. Buy a raffle ticket. That's how you can support us. You know, you don't have to be present to win a $1,500, $1,800 crossbow, but you can buy a ticket for $10 to help us out. It's pretty simple, you know. And so, you know, I EW has the same situation with QDMA.
Absolutely. Same thing.
Same thing. You've got an organization. When's the last time you had a benefit?
I thought you were going to ask me, when's the last time I got a paycheck?
No, I never got a paycheck.
When's
the last time you had a benefit?
We actually haven't had one for 2 years now.
Right. Because of?
Because we just don't get participation.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line.
And that's the Quality Deer Management Association, and you guys are active. EW is an advisor to the coalition, you know. And
a stakeholder.
And a stakeholder, and has asked his organization on a national level to help with a letter when we have the deer bills and so forth. So, you know, Glenn, to some degree, I think you're absolutely right. The hunters have sat back. You know, they're keyboard cowboys. I know that they'll respond and they'll complain, on social media. But will they actually get off their butt and go anywhere, or will they actually send a dollar anywhere? No. And I'm not being critical. That's just reality, right, EW?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I'm not criticizing my.
Not trying to beat up anybody.
No, not beating anybody up. It's just reality.
It's unfortunate because the players that we're playing against. Are well funded.
Extremely well funded. Humane Society of the United States, $200 million budget.
Oh, yeah. And also, you've got George Soros, you've got Bloomberg, you know, the Moms Demand Action.
Moms Demanding Action are in the halls of Annapolis every day in groups, in their red outfits. They're all dressed alike. They go office to office and do their lobbying. I don't think any of them are registered as lobbyists. They might be, you know. But they're down there as citizens talking to their lawmakers. We had Blazing Camo Day. We had 30 people there, maybe 40, talking to lawmakers. You know, the only hunting rally in the state. Now, the gun guys will shut down the Capitol. They'll be down there on the 25th. They'll shut the place down. They'll testify till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in 2013, when they went there the last time, the lawmakers were sitting there playing Candy Crush and doing their shopping online. There were pictures taken up there.
That's not news because they're not listening. Okay,
right.
A whole group of hunters can show up and hand out orange hats, and we can talk one on one with lawmakers and have a conversation. Okay, but if you show up en masse. And there's thousands of you out there, they turn a blind eye. It's just the way it is. You think that it would be the opposite way. But because their mind is made up, going into that hearing, because of the influence of their party, which is what happened last year, which is why some of the R guys got shelled in their districts for voting what the party wanted them to do on some of this legislation. Okay? You know, it's ugly. It's an ugly game.
Yeah, the question I would like to ask, and they wouldn't even listen to the answer because they don't want to hear it.
Right.
And this is very important because it has a lot to do with what's happening right now. How many people in Baltimore City that have been arrested on a gun crime, especially a handgun crime, have a handgun qualification license?
None.
I don't know. It's a rhetorical question.
Right.
I'm sure it's zero.
Here's a question you need to ask.
Low number.
Here's the question you need to ask. Is the General Assembly in Maryland willing to call a constitutional convention to repeal the Second Amendment?
Oh, yeah, they'd do it in a second.
You think?
Nah.
Yeah.
I don't think they would.
I don't think so. They wouldn't take
the... They wouldn't take the... They wouldn't
would
have...
Take,
they don't have the initiative to
no.
do it. So...
Oh. Well...
The question... Yeah.
They don't need to repeal the Second Amendment. They keep on doing all this gun control.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. And we keep letting them. We keep electing the same people. Glenn, I got to go.
Yeah. Well, have a great day.
See you, buddy. Thanks for the call.
See you.
Bye-bye. 410... Oh, we're done, right? Pretty much. I've killed you, Chris. Play a couple of those recorded spots, and we'll thank our sponsors, Clyde Sports Shop, Chesapeake Outdoors, and Bay Country Crabbing Supply. See them at the Pasadena Sport Fishing Show today. Go. It's time for the National Outdoor Show. Coming up February 22nd and 23rd at the South Dorchester School, 3485 Golden Hill Road in Church Creek, Maryland. Just $8 for adults and $4 for kids to get in. This is the home of the World Muskrat Skinning Championship. You're now in muskrat country, the heartland of sportsmen, trappers, watermen, and wildlife. Proud to show you the best that comes from our boot-sucking marshes and the flowing water that surrounds them. Most of all, we hope to share the unique spirit and character of our hardworking people who keep one foot in a technologically savvy world and the other stuck deep in our traditional old-school ways. A weekend of shopping. You can eat seafood and muskrat. See contests like the Muskrat Skinning Championship of the World. Remember, visit the National Outdoor Show, February 22nd, 23rd, in Dorchester County, nationaloutdoorshow.org. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
Linex. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines.